Welcome to the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network, the Win Nam You with the new ATL, the Asiatic Talk Language. My name is Madam Shabazz, and my co-host is online with me, Madam Heaven. Madam Heaven, how are you? Peace and love.
I'm fine, Madam Shabazz, and how are you?
Wonderful, thank you. So wonderful to hear your voice today. I'm delighted that you are online and feeling fine.
You as well.
Yes, indeed. Today is Wednesday, March the 27th, 2013. Wonderful day. This is the beginning of a topic that we will be speaking and teaching on one of our lessons for today, Ash Wednesday. And today is a wonderful number, 7, and we know that the 7 is a very, very powerful number as it goes with the 7 seals, 7 births, and 7 signs.
Yes.
And my sister, you are definitely one of those signs.
Well, thank you, Madam Shabazz, you as well.
Well, sis, today we have some great things to put out into the universe in our lessons. We are going to have our talk about the massive public school closings all across the United States. And the latest closings that have been in an uproar is in Chicago. In fact, maybe about 4 hours ago, they had a demonstration in Chicago. And we're also going to talk about the absolute need for us to develop a unique strategy toward higher thinking and higher learning. So
yes,
this is going to be an excellent opportunity for us to give just even more. That just lets us know that we are on time. We are on time with what we are doing with our homeschool and teaching a strategy where people can be able to pick up some more advanced learning and more advanced thinking. Because my question is today, sis, and I would like for you to talk about this with me as well, of course, as we always do, is did we get blindsided with the schools closing? Were there any announcements ahead of time? What? How does this happen to a major city, not just Chicago, here in the Dallas area? Last year they had many schools that closed. Now here you have Chicago, as the number shows on the internet, that it was a total of 61 schools that are closing. That's pretty major for any area, not just a major city, but 61 schools that are closing. So how does this happen, sis? How does this happen, and what are our alternatives in looking at something like this?
Well, I would like to say, Madam Shabazz, first of all, when they talk about that they have to make certain cutbacks, and as we know, it's all about location, location, and location. And so even President Obama declared martial law in California because so many of our youth was being packed like sardines and prison cells. And so even in the school systems, when they came up with this new, you might say, crime bill or crime law, that when we were coming up, if a child had a dispute or you never know what's going on in the home life while a child is interrupting a class, that they automatically would take that child, has to go to detention, and has a record. And so even with the caring and the situations and As you said, this just didn't just start overnight. You know, it's been going on for a while now. And I thank those teachers out there who give love and care. But then you have some teachers that say, well, let me get up today and just go have a paycheck.
But sis, it's not the, it's in my opinion, it's not just necessarily the teachers. The system, it's the system. And there
yes.
is nothing, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, there is nothing wrong with their system. This is the plan that is being carried out in their system, and this is not a new plan. Anyone that knows anything about how this country plans itself and plans the things that are the events that are going to be coming forward, then they realize that this has been planned maybe 20, 30, even 50 years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
So this the system is working perfectly well. The issue is two things. How do the parents continually allow this kind of system to be pushed upon them and their children? That's the two-part question, them and their children. Because the children are the ones who are becoming victims of this entire system that is basically it's reflecting back on them. For example, what I mean by that is their confidence. What does this do for a child's confidence level when their school is closing and they're saying, oh, the test scores are not high, or the children or the attendance was so low? How does that reflect on the behavior of children? And what is it that we can do here, the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network? What is it that you see that we can offer to maybe combat, or I don't even like that word, or maybe offer some way of continuing higher level of thinking, critical thinking? What do you think, my sister?
Well, the first part of your question, Madame Shabazz, as I was saying, I mean, you look just look at the incarceration rate of mothers and fathers. So that point, again, on the behaviors of the brain and the mindset of children. And on the second part, having the coping skills and the tools to deal in the everyday combative, as you said, situations that our children have to go through. From lack of food, because, you know, the stimulation of the brain, you know, being fed, and then going through the behaviors of the mind, again, location of the war zones that they live in. I mean, just trying to concentrate on just to survive, you know, not even talking about, you know, getting to homework, you know, where that's going to take them, what future do they see?
Now, you're aware,
you know, along
that,
with that.
You're aware that I'm aware of that. Do the administrators, are they aware of this? The people
well,
who are making
I'm sure they are. I'm very sure they are, sis. And as you say again, a lot with the government and the systems, as you say, many systems, but especially with the systems, again, look at the environment. Because your environment, again, going into those brain behaviors, you know, of children, the thought process that they have to process every day and how they feel about themselves and their environment.
Well, sis, now this is happening in all of the major cities here. And what are they going to do with these children? What I have seen in my past is when schools have closed, then many of the children are bused to areas that they're unfamiliar with. They're going to schools where, for example, as you talked about California a little bit earlier, they're going to be bused to schools in areas that is not friendly to their color or their gang. Right. So now you're going to get into a behavioral problem. You may have already had a behavioral problem, but now you're going to get into the greater degree of a behavioral problem. And then you have the children who may have a high level of intelligentsia, And now they go to a strange school. Well, if they answer too many questions in that classroom, they may be deemed as a smarty pants, or they have other words for that now. But they may, you know, be picked upon. So what that whole process of moving children to another place is that is this, I say that it's all in the scheme and the design. But it's going to have such a serious mark on our children's minds and their behavior that, and you talked about prisons earlier, it seems like these are the behavioral actions that are lining up for the prison institution.
Yes, and once again, as you said, once you have labels, you know, put on you, they carry with you. And again, how you feel, how you think about yourself, even the learning process, to, like, you take a young child, you know, they have dreams. You ask them what would they like to become. But if you look at an environment, like I say again, that, you know, you used to be slapped on the hand just into the principal office, you know, you being a class clown. Now that class clown is turned into a criminal, you know, with a record.
So they traded one C for another C. You no longer clown,
exactly.
But now you're a criminal.
Exactly.
You got a criminal behavior. Don't be in there blowing
out
the whistle or, you know, trying to make anyone smile because you will be charged with a criminal offense.
Yes,
wow.
So you feel already, you know, like you have to think of the mindset, like when we were even younger, you know, the mindset of children. You know, what is their aspirations that they can see besides being an athlete or a singer or entertainer? And then the percentage, you know, realistically, out of over 7 billion people on the planet, I mean, where do they really see themselves even fitting in with talent?
Wow, just interesting that you said that, because after the 7 billion people, I would say, just looking at the professional sports around the world, if there is 1 million or 2 million athletes that are paid on a professional level, that would be a very high number. I don't really think it's that high when you take into effect that a basketball team itself, it doesn't even take no more than about 25 to 30 players on a team, and football teams don't take a lot. I don't know the exact number for football teams, but I know that is probably less than 100, or for certain if they have backup players who play just for the sake of them working out or doing different types of plays. Let's say they have 200. Well, there is not even 50 teams here in America on just looking at the football or basketball. There's not even 50 total teams, I mean, 50 of each of them. So from what I look at it like this. You talked about the numbers. 1% of all the wealth in this country is made by people who are entertainers, who are into sports, people who are in stock market. So what does that leave our children? Because many of us are sending our children to school with the hopes and the aspirations that they will become some kind of professional entertainer to some degree. And here it is, it's only 1%, and the chances of them being able to be a professional football player or basketball player is like winning the lottery. Ha, lottery, how about that? Isn't lottery a part of the funding for the educational system across this country?
Yes, I believe a great deal part of that system, why it was implemented and put in place to help to raise monies and funds for the school systems.
But closing of the schools now, the major issue with closing of the schools is about money, and they say low performance. Well, low performance, how does high performance equal money? Is there special additional funding that's available for those who have high top level students in their school? Or is it the land base, which, of course, as you talked about earlier, location, location, location. Location absolutely means everything. We already know that. We're going to talk about that as we move forward today. in our show. But lottery, I want to go back to talk about lottery. If lottery is the funding, then those people in Chicago, let's just take Chicago, which is my hometown, just take Chicago itself, where there is, what, about 6 million people in the Chicago area. If those people themselves are participating in the lottery, and these schools, 61 schools, that's now. We're not talking about how many schools closed last year, because last year there was a high number of schools that closed as well. And here we are in the first quarter of this year, and 61 schools are being closed. Why don't people stop playing lottery?
Well, I think since then, again, with the scheme of things, and as you said, has this been some planning going on for some time? Because the reality, if you even look at the job market, and even that they tell the students that are in colleges, like perhaps they should think about going to a trade school instead of thinking about going to a Harvard or a Yale, because even when they come out, say, for instance, even going higher learning to even be a lawyer, that in the job market, that realistic numbers of them even getting a job, that is just a falsehood behind the action to say to spend all this money, you know, to even go to a higher institution of learning and then to come out and only to be, as it to be said, there's not enough jobs. So what do I do now? So realistically, even like you said, sister, the planning of this is not something that just happened overnight. We know everything takes a process. So going back to this process, that the haves and the have-nots, because to me this is what this country has become.
The haves and the have-nots. Well, sis, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back on that note, the haves and the have-nots, because we want to look at some alternatives. In addition to that, we also would like to examine what the responsibility is for the parents to be responsible for their children's entire education, not just the few hours that they have them in school, because many of them are protesting not because they want their children to be educated, but where are they going to send them? They don't know what to do with them.
Exactly.
When we come back, we're going to talk about that. So hold on, everyone. We will be right back. You're listening to the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network, and we're broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back. Welcome back. The haves and the have-nots. Oh, wow, sis. It does seem exactly like what that's coming down to in this country, the haves and the have-nots. But there are some things that we can do about it, the haves and the have-nots. And also, what is it that we need to have? Because we seem to think that we need to have what we see on television, the big house, the big car, the, you know, everything luxury, the Gucci, the
right.
Fendi, the, you know, all of the bad bags that you can have, the baddest shoes that you can walk on, the highest platforms that you can climb when it comes to shoes.
Well, the false illusions again.
Yes, these are false illusions. And these illusions have knocked our parents in the head, because they have taken their eyes off of the major prize, which is our children. They are the future. This is the next. These are the lining up to be the next seven generations. Where does this leave us? What actions is it, in your opinion, Madam Heaven, that we could take as parents to assure that our children are sufficient for the future?
Well, Madame Shabazz, the first thing that I think as parents need to do is, first of all, that delusional world of fantasy and lies, that even as we know that word Easter coming up, and they show a rabbit having chickens. And so even, again, we teach our children of the mindset and some of the behaviors that they go through. And so I think that's one place where we have to really get for real with ourselves, that the base that we start off again is that mindset, you know, the behaviors of the brain.
The three BCs.
Yes.
That we seem to not want. Yes, go ahead, sis.
Yes, and I was going to say the first one of the three BC is that brain control. Because, as again, when the child is born, we can go also inside before the child is born, but we're going to come out the womb, and we're going to say, who's that child's caretaker? Because that caretaker sets the tone for the future of that child. And so what that child observes, what the child hears, what goes into the thought process, you know, breaking down at certain terminologies, again, when they do the expression of what is the black, what is the so-called black, and what is the so-called white, you know, right away it sets up a condition and it sets up a pattern that that child will become, you know, breathe, eat, feel, live, you know, the surroundings again in an environment and how that child feels about him or herself. So the reality, going back again in the nursery rhymes, when you in school, you'd be surprised in the subconscious that the thoughts that are being placed in the mind and why our children go take tests. And as we said, like in our community, you know, if you want to say the so-called black community, when it says, ooh, you told a story, you know, most of the kids can relate to, wow, you told a lie. But say again, as the so-called white community, when you said, oh, you told a story, oh, that was a good one, I'd be right up to bed to tell you another. So that's what I'm just saying, going into the mindset, starting from that first, when we said kind of guarding. What kind of guarding is even being planted in
that
child's behavior?
And who's nurturing that garden? As well, who is the nurturer of that garden? Who is the one that is there to catch that garden? Who is the one who is tilling that soil? And we're saying that it is the parents' responsibility. And we're all parents. So as a parent, myself and you as a parent, this is a part of our responsibility, which is one of the reasons that has spearheaded us to start what we're doing now in developing the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network, the When I'm You with the new ATL, because it's a whole new school of thought. It gives a whole new way of looking at education. Well, although what we knew 50 years ago is the same, we still follow the same, we follow mostly as a majority
holidays.
Of people. Yes, holidays, religious practices, the rituals that go along with the holidays and the religious practices. Our behavior is not much different. We still think in the ways that old grandma did that 100 years ago, so it's okay. Although many of the practices that we have here in this country have been given to us, as many of us are, not all of us, but many of us have lineage in slavery. So some of this is familiar to us, and although some of it appeared as if it was working 50 years ago, why is it not working today? Why are we? Is it also because the plan that was set 50 years ago, we're seeing it play out today?
Well, exactly, Madam Shabazz. I agree. Madam Shabazz, I agree totally with you. Going back in the 50s and or even 40s in the 70s, you know, I look at myself when I was going through my teen years and the integrations of schools, like we were the third year, and busing into the schools and not going into an environment where you weren't wanted, you know. Again, I'm all for those teachers who even put out of their own pockets you know, monies,
yes.
to buy supplies, you know, for children. But then again, on the flip side of that coin, that you have to ask yourself that word, again, government. How not just talk about from 1776, talk about the forefathers. Well, let's go back to the habeas corpus of the 1066. And again, what this country was built on. And the differences, again, of the highs and the lows, your location, your location, your location. When we even speak about the grades and the system and the pressures that's put on the teachers and put on children and on the students, you know, to raise several levels in certain neighborhoods, when you already know that a child, the difference from being in a war zone thinking, and then a child feels of a freedom type of thinking with health. And like I said, if you look at a lot of our children that the parents are even incarcerated, that you have a lot of the grandparents that some of them didn't get the opportunities because they had to work in the fields and other jobs when they were coming up, so they don't even have the correct tools that they need with today's process. And the behaviors, again, of the brain when we go into the learning systems of children to even help them.
Yes, I agree, sis, and I'm very happy to say that we are here to offer an alternative. As you're listening to us right now, we are in our 90 days of sharing with everyone who we are, what we are, how our lessons will manifest themselves. Our target date and our opening date as of right now is May 29, 2013, where our webinars and our teleconferences will go live with our students, our steppers who enroll into the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network. We will be able to help the parents who want their children to extend themselves with a higher level of thinking, a critical way of thinking, and to kind of get out of the box. Our goal here is to raise up the consciousness in the mind so that we can start to build inventors. We can give them the fuel that's necessary to open up their minds so that we can create some new things, that we can have more builders in our community. We can build our own schools and operate them from A to Z as we did in the beginning. When we had small schools and we taught our children were fine. When we had our own schools and we taught our own children, we also had our own buses. When we had our own school and taught our own children, we also had businesses. But once we integrated into the systems that appeared as if they were more glorious than what we had, a part of the illusion, then we've lost in the end, even to this day. Oh, we have a lot of physical things. But the mental state, you can look at the mental state just by looking at the numbers of the prisons. As you talked about, the war zones, the mindset that goes on in the war zone. You are listening to the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network. We are live here on Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 323-927-2927. My name is Madam Shabazz, and my co-host is Madam Heaven. Sis, before we move on to our next subject, is there anything that you would like to say in respect to this horrific issue that is going on across this country right now with the closing of the public schools?
Well, I'd just like to put my spiel on that, sister. Like you said, Madame Shabazz is nothing new. This extended going way back from the chain gang and free labor. Because, again, that you see our children is being put on a link, linked to a future that's going nowhere with the systems that is in place as we see the systems, how they are set up now. So, as you said, this process, there has been a long ongoing process. And so we must break the chain. We must break the chain link. We must put the tools and implement in the parents and teachers and the children and the students, that the loved ones they do have around them, to give them new tools in the way and to govern themselves and to see a new vision to bring the standards even of ourselves when we even get into that post-traumatic syndrome and the behaviors of the brain. That's what we in our school call the Win Nam You, meaning new human beings, a new way of seeing things, a new way of doing things, and a new way for our students and our kids to feel about themselves. Because, again, until they take those chains or feeling that they're still slaves in slavery, until we take that type of thinking out of the mindset and the behaviors of the brain, and to let our children focus on, listen, when we say that you can become, but to become, you have to have the necessary tools to become. So in that whole conditioning and thinking, this is what we're bringing to the table in our school.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my sister.
Well, we pick as one, so you have said that, my sister.
I so appreciate that. We do have some callers online. I do want to acknowledge them. If you have any questions, comments, or observations, I will be opening up the line in just a moment. And before I do that, I just want to give a special thanks to all of the sisters who were together. We gathered this weekend for the Rook Mamas family event. It was really great. Some wonderful sisters, to sisters who are responsible, sisters who are taking charge of themselves and their children's education. Many of them are homeschool parents who are dedicated to bringing a new way to their children. They are a part of the Win Nam You, and we're very excited that they are pressing their way. So big ups to all of those sisters who were there. It was very nice to see them and see them still being very active in the community. So thank you, my sisters. We certainly appreciate you. And I also want to give a big thanks to Chief Lateva. If you have not heard of her, please check her out at the blackwomansagenda.com and download her free book. It's very, very good. She's a very powerful sister who fights her way toward bringing consciousness to black women, and also she's a very serious advocate for homeschool. So I'm very happy to be associated with them. And I also want to give a special thanks to the Uhuru Academy in Fort Worth, Texas, where they are leading the way to a different way of thinking, leading the way to bringing in a more conscious way and a more conscious teaching to our children. So I'm very happy for that. So hold on, sis, for just one moment. Let's open up the lines and see if there are any questions. I have 214-6560. You are on live. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations for us today? All right. Hold on for a moment. We'll go to the next caller. And I have 770-3562. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations for us so far? You're on live now. Well, thank you for holding. We appreciate everyone spending your time and energy with us on this Wednesday, this Ash Wednesday. All right, and I have 616-8270. You are on live. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations for us so far? Great. Well, all right then, sis. Well, we will move forward in breaking the chains that have been put on us. And as you talked about the chain gang, which is one of the things that has held us down and still holding us down, they don't call it chain gang anymore. They call it prison. So it's a different It's just a different game, but it is still the absolute same. It is still rendering the same results, where people are locked up without having freedom of themselves, not being aware of their landmass, which is our next subject that we want to talk about. If you have tuned in with us before, you know that our school concept is based on the four L's: land, language, law, and love. That is what we will be talking about as we go forward in our school, the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network. And today we're going to spend a little bit extra time on land, because this is what's very critical. If we just go start looking at California, who land that belongs to, and how can someone, in this case, we know that it's President Obama who has declared martial law in California, a land that does not even belong to him as an individual, but it belongs to the people. And now there is martial law that has been declared in the land. However, throughout the year 2012, there were lots of signs. There were lots of military trucks. There were lots of invading onto families and communities. So the signs have been already there. But now I thought that they may have declared Chicago the first martial law. However, it may be second, because there's so many shootings that have been going on there in that landmass. So what is your landmass? What do you know about your landmass? What do you know about yourself being your first landmass? How have you evaluated yourself? What do you know about the name that you carry that identifies you to whom you are, where you come from, who you connected to? What is your landmass as an individual? What I'd like for us to do today is to think toward analyzing. Think toward analyzing every single letter that we have become familiar with. Look at the letters, see the numbers in the letters. Look at the letters and find as many words in the word itself that you can find some of the hidden messages. For example, as I've been constantly saying ever since we jumped off here, is land. If you turn the word around, you're going to see DNA. That is the DNA of yourself, which is going to determine your land mass of yourself. But if you look at the word closely, you will also see some other words that are in there. You will see the word Dan as a name. You see the word Ann, A-N. You see the word Nad, N-A-D. You'll see the word Dal, D-A-L. Lad, L-A-D. You will see the word A-N-D in there, Ann. And, of course, the letter A. A is in there itself. And how about L-A-N? And if you look at the word, you probably yourself can see other things within the word. So it's the messages that are in the words that we would like to challenge all of us to continue to look into the words, because it has been the words that has been, that I should say, that keep us from seeing, because it's the hidden messages. Going back to was the strategy to close the school decided January 2013, or was it decided January 1999? We don't know. Or were there symbols and signs that were already there that we were unaware of, that we did not look into deeply, because we're only looking at things that we see as it's given to us, kind of like how we look at the tell-light vision. Most of us only look at the surface. We don't look behind the surface. If you ask many people what they saw on television, they may see the person, but they have no concept of what was behind the person. What kind of tree stood behind the person? What were the colors that were in the room behind the person? Can you identify the color of the sofa? These are the hidden messages that are behind everything, that we want to go behind the hidden messages and look into the landmass. So we're challenging everyone to create a new system, within your own self, within your own household. Create a new number system by looking at the letters and seeing the numbers in the letters. Create a number chart so that you'll have a guiding force. In addition to that, you will challenge your children and yourself to begin to start thinking quickly. You will challenge yourself and your children to be able to see things that no other people will be able to see. You will become a seer. So we're challenging today that we should start to look way beyond that which we see. So, Madam Heaven, this is Lan. Can you talk to us about Lan, my sister?
Well, yes, Madame Shabazz. I always personally myself like to start with the 2.5 million years ago right here as we talk in this land of Texas. Because as you said, again, the mindset and the behaviors of the brain of the people that lived and what did they pass on? And if you look at from the mindset then and we look through the battles and the wars and the crusades, that even the mindset that the people have now and what they had then and the connection to themselves and the behaviors of the brain, because your brain activity controls every part of the function of the body. So as we all know, it starts from what? The brain. But the brain process starts from what? The chi or the mind. And so when we get into consciously and unconsciously, into the sub-mind and the mind that's open to as you see what you see with your physical eye, and then what you see, what you call your intuition of your third eye, what the Creator has given every individual in their makeup, in their DNA. And so what was passed on and what was changed of what was passed on? Going back again to the behaviors of the land and, as you said, how you see. Because how you see is how you view and how you see your world collectively around you and the people that around you. And so how you view your focus about yourself. So we have to look at that, the changes that came about. And this big word, but such a small word, a compact word, government. Because even in that word government, what words do you hear? You hear mint, meaning money, meaning was what? Start off with was the what? Territory, then became the treaties, then the properties. Then what was the gain? The money, wealth, and power. So we have to look at this same exchange. We have to look at the words they call post-traumatic. Yes, it was a post-traumatic. And still a thinking on the brain of the psychological effects that we still go through and suffer from today.
Now, sis, would you explain what is the difference between the mind and the brain?
Well, the mind is the substance that, when I say what is the chi, or the essence, some people call it the spiritual realm of oneself. The brain is actually, if you want to say, what houses your information or that spiritual feeling of yourself. The brain is the center that carries out to the body of its functions and the behavior of the functions of the body called the temple. So, again, if you want to say on what most people like to say, that spiritual realm or that natural connection that the Creator puts in every human being. You know, what you say those words again, your DNA, the neutrons, electrons, proton cells, becomes in the gush of water where we say the sperm and the egg acid, which becomes what? A congealed clot of blood that becomes the fetus, and the fetus comes into the embryo. So if we want to go into that insight word, what you say is the sub part of oneself, the consciousness of oneself, that part where people can relate to, as people like to use words like what's wrong and what's right. Going back again to your religion and your history, going back to your landmass. Because even over the phone, we like to tell our audience why we love for you to ask questions. Because there's no wrong or right. It's only what you have been exposed to. So your thought pattern and process is a lot of that. So what we do, if you don't ask a question, then how can you even further your own instincts to, you know, to feel what's inside yourself? If what somebody is saying as those words are right or wrong, while we have research and read, pick up a book. But is that what kind of book that gives you your information? So you have to have a base to start at. So we say first start with that base, like we tell our children, like even with the nursery rhymes. And so something even goes deeper and beyond into their system that shocks the system and says, well, I wonder if that's wrong or right. And then your children want to question you, and you say what? Do as I say, not as I do. Because that'd be an example, but something that's inside the human being that tells the human being natural self that so many parents want to overlook or, again, to say, do as I say. And even though parents know that it's an untruth, we still tell our children, well, you do it. You believe in it. And so when they begin to rebel against you, then in your thought process is like, where did I go wrong? So again, sister, going to that land mass again, where did it change as we're speaking about that Ash Wednesday? You know, when I think about an Ash Wednesday, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday, when I think about ashes, I think about how our ancestors was hanging on a tree, got burnt and tarred and feathered in the name of the church, in the name of a cause. That's what I think about when I think about on Ash Wednesday.
Yes, my sister, and we're going to talk about Ash Wednesday as today because it is very prevalent. But I also want to say that this is not for us. When we speak on religion, we're going to speak on all of them because
yes,
there is information that needs to be investigated in every realm of religion, no matter if it's the Muslimology, the Christianology, or the Jewology. All of them
yes,
must be examined because these are the things that have shaped and molded us as to who we are today and have also allowed us to allow other people to give us information that is inadequate. That is inadequate. Whoo, boy, yeah. See, I know
we passed out from generation to generation. Yes, and holidays. We over and over and over, decades.
We continue to pass on the same information. Now, and sis, let me say that for me, I think that there's something really beautiful about passing on tradition. And I'm not saying that we should not pass on tradition. We should. And that's why we should set new paradigms. And the paradigms that we should set right now should be based on complete analyzation of that which we have been given. Because if you look at our history, then you have to know that the information that has been given to us is not information that is going to allow us to work and function at our absolute best. Because if it was, then we would not be in a way of the haves and the have-nots. Many of us function out of the lack of what? The lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding, the lack of being able to analyze, the lack of being able to research, the lack of being able to communicate, the lack of being able to see the value in one another. the lack of being able to stand on the square, of being able to look at the truth without the emotions coming in. And that's why
Madam Shabazz, a lack of our history. You know, as we say that word, his story, his history.
Yes.
Having a lack of our own culture and our own knowledge of the stories that was passed down, that was our stories. Even when they started the children with Christopher Columbus, 1492, you know, and even if they wanted to discover the ocean blue and then discover the landmass that a people was there. So even to go back again, I asked them, well, I too know about 1492, but what do you know about 1483 and those discoveries and the people of those discoveries?
So much to cover, sis.
So again,
so
the falsehood, again, sis, going back when we talk about the 369, the goose drank wine. Why did the goose drink wine? 369, the goose drank wine. Then the monkey threw the back on the streetcar line. The line broke. The monkey got choked. And why did they all go to heaven in a little rowboat since everybody wants to go to heaven?
Nursery
what people
rod.
Was in the boat that went to heaven?
Mm.
Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. He sat
he had
on the
great
wall.
Father. Yeah.
And
he
what
had
happened?
A great father.
All his king's men couldn't put them back together again. Meaning his whole nation.
Right, and
no matter what they did, couldn't put him back together again. And the Jack and Jill went up a hill. So that means what? They was upright, or still standing upright. But then they had a great fall. Going back to that Adam and Eve story.
Yes, the landmass. Where did all of this take place? Because all of those, we want to know where were they? How did they get where they were? And who put them there? Were they, was this the original place? Was this where they all began? And Humpty Dumpty himself, was he on his own land? And although all his king's men couldn't put him back together again, who really is Humpty Dumpty? Does Humpty Dumpty, is that nursery rhyme? Is that something that indicates a nation of people? These are the things that we're going to break down in our webinars and our teleconferences so that parents will be able to understand the things that we've been saying to ourselves and to our children and what has been passed down to us through learned behavior of our own ancestors, which, of course, we want to acknowledge our ancestors for. Without them, we would not be. So we're totally grateful to be able to talk about our ancestors. We're going to have more conversation about that because Ash Wednesday, what really do Ash Wednesday mean? So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and take a few calls. We can be reached today. We're at C-Dropper Homeschool Network live on Blog Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 323-927-2927. I am Madam Shabazz, and my co-host is Madam Heaven, and we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Peace and love, sister. Root Mama Maternal Care is here to meet your womb health needs. Root Mama has helped women all over the country improve their womb health, fertility, hormonal balance, self-esteem, and family life. Explore how our signature service and products can take your wellness to the next level and at a very affordable price. Womb health consultation, birth planning, labor and delivery support, postpartum care, belly dance, and much more. Discover how Root Mama's high-quality organic products will enhance your well-being. Herbal blends, body butters, healing jewelry, and much more. Visit us online today at www.rootmama.org. Join our Facebook page, facebook.com/rootmama. Call us anytime, 682-587-ROOT. Again, that number is 682-587-ROOT. Consider Root Mama your community doula. A nation can rise no higher than its woman. Every woman and family deserves a doula. Visit us online, www.rootmama.org.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Your commercials are welcome with us here on the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network. We welcome your commercials. If you don't have a commercial already put together, don't worry about that. We can help you with that, get you a commercial up and rolling so that people will know who you are and what you have to offer to our community. You can give us a drop us a message at seeddropperhomeschoolnetwork@gmail.com, or you can visit our website and leave us a message, and that is seeddropperhomeschoolnetwork.com. Or you can just leave us a comment that you're interested here on the Blog Talk Radio /seeddropperhomeschoolnetwork.com. Yes, I know it's a whole mouthful, but the seeds are so critical to the existence,
yes,
as to who we are. And we and I've had people say, well, sister, that's a very long name. Well, it's very critical because it is the seed that is the beginning, and we must be droppers, so we have to nurture the seed. And, of course, the home school, we are all homeschooled. The first school is your own home, and now people are being forced to analyze and look more closely at having a home school themselves. And the new WinNumU, well, we need a new language. We need new humans. We need to think differently, and that's the WinNumU. And the ATL, the new Asiatic Talk Language, let's get educated on the history. Let's get educated on the story from historians and no longer from historians. Hear from the woman's standpoint. Hear from the ones who are the makers of the nation, the ones who shape and mold the nation. That is who we are today. Again, you're online with me, Madam Shabazz, and my co-host, Madam Heaven. My sister,
yes,
how are
Madam
you doing?
Shabazz, I'm doing just fine. And you, my sister?
Very well. Before we open up the lines, is there anything that you would like to say?
Well, I would just like to say to our listening audience, we truly appreciate your comments, your questions, and we would love to hear your input. So if you would be so kind to see it within yourself that questions or answers or just to have an expression of a feeling that you may want to express something that you have inside that you would like to share, we would love to hear it.
All right. With that in mind, then I'm going to open up the line 214-6560. You are going live. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations for us today? All right. Thank you very much for being online with us. And 616-8270, you are live. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations for us today? All right. And we have 470-0393. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations? You are live.
Peace.
Peace.
Hello?
Peace.
Yeah. This is Brother One, and I'm just like on religion. That's like a division and bringing about a community. So I feel like we shouldn't waste no more time trying to get people to see faults in religion. We should spend more of our time trying to manifest things people can see, touch, and feel, and then spend some more time on religion later. You know what I'm saying? I know once you start doing religion, people are so strapped in to their beliefs that they are like stray away. You know what I'm saying? I see it every day. So I just, when I approach people, I don't even worry about where their religious beliefs lie at. I'm more like, let's build something. Let's actually bring something about that. Let's actually manifest something that we can actually use, benefit from. Because, you know what I'm saying? That religion is so, it's so much into that. People just stray away if you just say one word against that stuff. They so in tune with their own thing. You know what I'm saying? Then on top of religion, even though the devil got his hands on everybody's religion through the people that work for him, you can also see every religion, the spirit of God. You can see every religion, the righteousness. So, you know what I'm saying? I like when people get religion, as long as they're on the right path, trying to do the right thing, all the falsehood will reveal itself in due time. You know what I'm saying? I just think we really need to stop wasting our time spending on trying to get people to their thoughts and their religion and spend more time building on our community and actually manifest something beautiful that people can see, touch, and feel. This is Brother One. Peace.
Yes, thank you so very much, my brother. And I certainly understand and overstand and even upstand what you're saying about religion, because when you speak to people about religion, they find themselves sometimes becoming very emotional about religion. And that has been the tie into keeping people in a place. It's almost like having a angry spouse that, you know, every time you have a argument, they bring up the past or something that hurt them very dearly to them, that was very painful, and they continue to bring it up because they don't want to heal. You have to heal and get past it. You have to go back. You have to go back into it to find where the pain lies. And we've been so emotionally traumatized with religion too. I can definitely understand what you're saying about not wanting to communicate with people, because it is very hot, and people can get into some very hot subjects with you when it comes to religion. So most definitely. Madam Heaven, did you want to chime in to the brother?
Well, yes, first of all, I will thank you so much, my brother Haki. That's the word in the Hebrew and Arabic for brother, and for opening up and expressing, and that's how we start dialect. Because if you take that word in religion itself, it means what? A one's way of life. And so the story that's called his story tells what? The story, again, a part of your existence. So I truly appreciate when you said to become, as we call, the steppers, you know, from our little steppers, youth steppers, and adult steppers, that it does take steps. But in order to take the steps forward, we have to take the steps backwards. Because one thing, as you may know the name as Malcolm X, which name became L, means the, Malik, means master, okay? That word Shabazz means tribes and nations. So we have to, as you said, to take that step and what we call being in the realm of the real or the reality of oneself. Because in order to build, you have to first take steps to build. So if you do not know your proper steps on building, why people get so attached in the emotionalism that comes out with that word religion. Because why? It's a real feeling. It's a real connection. But a real feeling and a real connection of who? We go through the who, a who, when, where, what, how, the intent, and what's implied. Because that's a real feeling and as I say again, a real action. So that's why we go into the land, why we go into your language, we go into your law, because your law is your principle that you stand on. And so, again, to have that right building tool that you need, that you can shake off that anything comes your way, you have to first get into the upstanding that we were, and everybody became what? Into an understanding to know how to build again, to stand on that rock that we were standing on in the beginning. So I applaud you, my brother, as you said, to hear a strong brother with concern and conviction, that as you hear a lot, that I can hear the tone in your voice, that people say a lot. But what can we do as culture and nations, you know, to bring back the building process, not so much the talking process, because we have had a lot of talking. So I agree with you on that level, and that's why our school, the Wen Nam Yu, meaning new human, meaning new mind, new thought process, to give back to the upstanding of oneself. You know, that greater part that you feel within yourself. And so I commend you for as you opening up this dialogue. And perhaps others that's out there will start to come together with the same thought process to be a great builder. That's somewhere we can start together. So I thank you, my brother.
Yes, thank you so very much, my brother. Please hold on. Do you have anything else you'd like to say with, to us today?
Basically, just got to come together on the one common cause. You know what I'm saying? We got to figure out, you know, pretty much money is basically everybody's common cause right now. So we could, like, get some money that would gravitate a whole lot of people to them, you know, I guess, because they greed. Everybody, they got their devil of greed in them. So I tell you, you had to use that to get people to actually see what's really going on. You know what I'm saying? That's why I have really no respect for millionaires, because I guess the law of the devil is the righteous can't have no money, they're going to do the right things with it. You know what I'm saying? So I just know we need to unify into one common cause so we can make this a better place for everybody. Well, I definitely know religion ain't going to make nobody unify. That ain't going to happen. That's not what you got to figure something else out.
Thank you so very much, my divine brother. I appreciate you tuning in to us. If you could just hold on for just one moment, and we'll check back.
I appreciate y'all doing this. I love hearing y'all being like this.
Why, thank you.
We appreciate the feedback, brother. It's very important to us as we're continuing to develop ourselves and our school. We know that it's different, and we know that people will have issues to it, but these are the things that have held us back. These are the things that constantly, as you're pointing out now, religion keeps us divided. So if we just start to analyze it and get out of the emotion, it's the emotional part of religion that keeps us attached. And because we don't have any control over how we have balanced ourselves in the scheme of our everyday life, then our emotions are out of order. So thank you, my brother. Just hold on, please.
Thank you.
Yes,
you're very welcome. Okay, sis?
Yes.
Wow, thank you so very much. I am so appreciative of you that I just want to acknowledge that to you and to the callers in the universe that I appreciate you, my sister, because it is courageous to stand up and say that we're going to look at all of the ologies and look at how the ologies have caused us to have the isms of ourselves and of one another. And just briefly, I just want to say about the ologies, what if we look at the ologies and we look at all of them and look at the prophets that have been given to us, the prophets don't have an image that will build self-esteem to the so-called black nation. And until we have complete confidence in who we are and what we are, then we're not going to be able to be brothers and sisters and keepers of one another, because we don't see ourselves as worthy. We automatically see ourselves as being people that cannot be trusted because of the image that we have. Everyone, no matter what persuasion they are, nor whatever nationality they are, everyone can tell you that the image of Jesus that they have seen somewhere in their life is a Jesus that appears to be European, a Moses that appears to be European, a Muhammad that appears to be European. So what does that do for the self-esteem of the so-called black person?
Well, Sister Madame Shabazz, even with the fact the curse of Ham itself, to say the fact that we was cursed while we have the color that we have, the pigment on our skin, that's a curse. So if we want to look, while we have to examine even that word religion, because the word is what? Rely on.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been that we had to rely on someone else's story to give us our identification of who we are. And so even in that word to what? Believe. Again, that's why we break down and have to examine words. Because, again, those three words, the three BC, brain control, black consciousness, before that word Christ of her. Because even in that word Christ itself, the image of that word. Because what do words do? Words shape and mold. Matter of fact, the word was not even Jesus. It comes from the word Zeus of the word Jesus. Meaning the one was Zeus was what? Not one of the gods. Zeus, the name, was what? King of the gods. And so if you look in language, if you look into the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the Greek and the Latin, that you do not have a Z. Okay? So the Z became the J. And that's to put in what we were talking about, breaking down emotions and breaking down words. And why that word is so attached to us, because if we go back into that word religion, Jesus was beaten to us. We always call Creator, as it said in the beginning, that it was one with all nations. Rather, it was the Muslimology, Christianology, or the Jewishology, that it was the Creator who created all nations. So then when it break down to the three, which if you go into the physical, of the universe in mathematics, you cannot even put three into one. So we have to go back into that word that we rely on for our information. And that's why we have to re-examine. Because, see, what's that word people like to use, freedom? I always like to say, if you don't have dome free, you don't have freedom. You just go through a system. You know, as a number, like cattle. You know, you're just a number on the block.
And sis, what is the dome? What is the dome that you are referring to?
The dome that I'm referring to, sis, is the chi. I call it the language of the mind,
yes,
on how the brain works. Going into, again, the behaviors of the brain. Because, again, the brain is just what? That, I would say, what's inside that shell to make your focus, you know, your physical focus. But it's, as people want to say, in the spiritual world, or your soul or your spirit that carries you on, even when this physical self goes back to its earth. So that energy of the essence of who you really are. Because a lot of times people say, well, tell me the truth. I can handle it. You know, we can go further if you just tell me the truth. But what happens when a person gets that truth? The person said, whoa, in the subconscious, I'd rather have heard the lie. Because why? The emotion behind it, the responsibility. And that's why, see, we take the responsibility to break down your land, to break down your language, to break down your law, to break down your love, your evolution in yourself. Because that's where it has to start.
Absolutely. Well, sis, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and as you talked about, we're going to go into the Ash Wednesday. What does it mean? How does it reflect on us? And the lies, tell the truth. You said, do people really want to know the truth? So hold on. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back. All right.
Yes.
Madam Heaven, lies.
Yes, Madam Shabazz.
How many of them do you want to hear? Lies, lies. Do you really want to hear the truth? Do you really want me to speak the truth? Does lies hurt you? Do lies hurt your feelings? Or do lies soothe your soul? You choose.
Break it down, Madam Shabazz. Break it down.
Well, based on the behavioral action, which we put people on the square here with our four L's, the land, the language, the law, and the love. Based on putting these things on the square, then I'm going to say that the behavioral actions that even lined up with the parents in Chicago or all across this city about the truth of the schools. Well, we will go back all the way back to the early 1960s when one brother, who is Elijah Muhammad, had already shared with people that the school systems were going to be closing, that we needed to start building and taking care of our own children's education. But still yet, no one heard him. Was it that they didn't hear him because we were emotionally attached to religion and because he was a Muslim that people could not hear what he was saying? But yet here we are now, nearly 40 years later, the manifestation of what he said is right here before us. So do we really want the truth, or are we willing to allow the truth to knock us in the face and knock us down, and then we'll start crying like damsels in distress that we did not know it was coming? It's the truth, and we want to talk about the truth of the Ash Wednesday. Sis, go ahead, break it down. You can lead the way on Ash Wednesday.
Well, as we say again, Madam Shabazz, we want our listeners out there and our viewers to understand where we're coming from, because so many times it's said to understand where we're coming from. That when we say again, that word to rely on, or that word religion or his story, is the base, if you would look at culturally again, how we view ourselves, even as individuals, not even to talk about that word tribe, or that word nation, or that word education, which people call education. And so again, when you look in holidays, and we have to look at, again, why holidays was necessary, or different schools of thought, you know, how did they come about, and how do they still keep people like cattle, just as a number, to keep them in order, you know, to keep them in their place. So as we speak about, again, on this day, Ash Wednesday, you know, as the brother said, when we speak about religion or speak about history, but if you look at the focus again as your total being, because again, holidays and how one holiday and that word itself, hollow, showing you that something is missing in a day to be called a hollow day. And the fact how you take from day, to week, the month, the year, that connection, how we associate ourselves again in the language, you know, in the culture, you know, in the land, and how these words come about and how they play the trickologies and the mythologies instead of the truthologies on the behaviors of the brain. And so, again, our focus when you look at your whole life, what is based upon? From the time that they stamp your foot on your birth certificate to say this is your land, this is where you're going to live your language, this is the way you're going to live your law, because going back to this day, it's somebody's law. It's somebody's language, because it's an addition of the day that's coming up to the word Good Friday. Now let's examine this word again. Like they have Black Friday, and they have a Good Friday, again, what do words do? Shape and mold the mind. So it's not that we're being tactful on anybody's day, because as we go out our series of shows that you will see, regardless of what holiday that it is, that we're going to break down that holiday. So whether it's a Muslimology holiday, whether it's a Christian holiday or a Jewish holiday, that we still want to get the mindset. How did it come about? What is the connection to you and your land, to you and your language, to you and your law, and to you, to your love of yourself?
Well, sis, I see a connection with the Ash Wednesday with the ancestors. And the connection that I see is when I look at it as the ash itself, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The person going back from that essence of which they have come from. That is the connection that I see with this day and the significance as to if in the acknowledgement of this day. Now, I'm going to say that if I was to celebrate Ash Wednesday, then I would celebrate Ash Wednesday by maybe lighting a candle for the ancestors, lighting a candle or burning some incense to acknowledge the works that have been done on this land. What I would not do is to allow someone to take the semblance of ashes and put it into my third eye, into my consciousness, into my subconsciousness, and put that symbol on, because that is a part of the chakra system. Again, this is something that we're going to teach about. The chakra system, you're allowing someone to put their hands on your delicate system into your third eye and put a cross, which is a symbol of death, because the circle has been taken off of it, which is the life. So in acknowledging this day, since it is a day that is acknowledging the death of our brother, then I would say that perhaps one of the things that people can do to have an upstanding about the day is to really look at where the true meaning comes from, or look at the connection of the day, or look at the ancestors or your own grandparents and their parents, your great-great-grandparents. Can you go back seven generations? We can't go back several generations to look at ourselves, but we can go back and look at a prophet that has been given to us by people who gave us a religion, people who we couldn't even read. And even to this day, we practice the same practices that were given to us orally, although we can read today, but we still practice the same way. So I would say that this is definitely, if you want to acknowledge your ancestors, then acknowledge them every day, not just on an Ash Wednesday, because they are worthy of being acknowledged again, because without them we would not be here. And ashes to ashes, symbolizing that you're no longer here in your physical body, which what happens to the physical body? What are they doing now with the physical body? Well, there used to be one way of resting your ancestors, but now it's a major business as to how we are rested in our ashes. Or do we even receive any ashes? Or do we receive a $10,000 bill and say, okay, this is how much it's going to cost you to lay your loved one to rest? And if anyone has ever experienced death, those are the words that they use, lay your loved one to rest, a physical body. So this is a very significant day, and it did have meaning. Most of the holidays had meaning that was significant to the nation of the so-called black people. However, because we're so emotionally entwined into the ways of life that have been given to us, we cannot see. We have not allowed ourselves to see it, because we don't have the true vision that it takes to see the depths of the hidden messages, because our emotions are tied in. Back to what Brother Hakeem spoke about earlier, that that's the hot topic. Let's not, brothers say, let's not even talk about it. Because people
not because, again, as you said, Madame Shabazz, the emotion that's caught up in it. Like, you could take some words, like I could say the word muck, but I could say that same word with the letter F in front of it. And I ask people, what makes it one emotion over the other if it's just a word? Because if you take that word, even the word Jesus, where it comes from, the word Zeus, Zeus became the haste, Zeus became the word Jesus. And see, the word in the Hebrew language is Yeshua, and in the Arabia, Isa, because that life of that word Yeshua and Isa is not the same life as Jesus. And so that's one thing we have to make clear again, when we have to examine words and processes and how we process to the behavior of the brain. That's why we break down it and examine every word. Because even if we look at the history of that story of Jesus and look at that story of Yeshua and Isa, it's not the same story.
No, they're not the same story, sis. And as you talk about those stories, right now we are on the 5:25. We are on our last 30 minutes of the show. I do want to talk about the story, how the Ash Wednesday relates to the bunny rabbit, and the bunny rabbit with the eggs, and the things that are related to that. Going back to the question at hand, do lies hurt? Do they hurt your feelings, or do they soothe your soul? And in looking at the holiday, why people would participate in a lie, is it that they will participate in it because it really does soothe your soul? I must admit that around the time of Easter, I used to remember as a young girl that it was a time where I saw people, they looked their most beautiful. They had the most beautiful colors on, the pink and the blue and the light blue greens, all of these, the yellows, all of these are nice, beautiful colors. And I saw some of the girls who would look so, so beautiful. My family wasn't very religious, so I never had an Easter dress, so I can't relate to that at all. That was just not nothing that was practiced in my household. I did not come from a religious family, although we were all very tight-knit, and we had a very nice extended household that lived together, which I'm grateful for that. But religion? No, but if you ask my family what religion they would tell you that they were Baptist, but nobody belonged to no church and hardly ever even went to a church in my house. But it's something soothing about the gathering of Easter, but it's not based on reality of truth.
Well, first of all, sister, can a rabbit produce chickens?
That's number one.
And to get on, and the fact that you said, even my family as well, when you said coming from a religious family, now we have to break down that word again. Because a person has said to me that they were atheists, and I said to them, wow, that's very good, you're atheist. And they said, well, did you understand what I said, that I'm an atheist? And I said, yes, that's very good in your thinking. They said, well, wow, nobody ever expressed that to me before. What are you saying to me? I said, for one thing, it's saying to you that your natural order, that the Creator gave to you, that you're not putting any partnership or attachments to the Creator, that you see the Creator standing alone. And so, therefore, you put no as it says, that the Creator as it says. Do not put me in any graven image, whether it be the heavens, the earth, and the sea, under any condition. And so, therefore, I told that person that your natural self bows down to the one who created you and that one only. And that person said to me, wow, sister, you know, well, thank you for explaining that to me. I know I wasn't crazy. I just could never get in religious groups or anybody religion, rather was Muslim, Christian, or Jew, or the 144. different religions or books or texts that it was, because I just could not see myself. But I said, now that you can see yourself in the natural order. So it goes back again. Yes, it may be painful. Truth is painful. When people tell you a lie is painful. But one thing, going back to that word again, when you were talking about the word dome earlier, because the reality of your own realm, of your own existence, that you have a thought process, and that process produces the best or the worst out of a person. And so what we do, we expand and take you back and allow you to open up your mind to ask yourself questions. Was this something given to me naturally by the Creator, or was this something that that word under slavery that was forced upon a people, that how they feel about themselves or see themselves today? I'm not saying that the church itself, that the people in the church aren't good people or have good feelings or the reality of oneself wanting to do the best that they can do. But it's still the other attachments, like that word, Christ of her, which is the Queen of England. That when you hear the word Christopher, you think it's a man, but it's a woman. And when they talk about Mary, they talk about Bloody Mary. Again, talking about England as the flag, the Confederate flag, the American flag. It has not changed. So again, even under those ologies, who brought about those ologies, and what does the word ology mean in the first place? It's somebody's thought. It's somebody's school of thought. So that's
yes,
why we take the chains off your mind.
Yes, Madam Heaven, it is
and
a
unlock
chain
your
of thought. Yes, please unlock your dome. The eggs, where did the egg concept come from? Where? Why was it even necessary to take a rabbit and say that the rabbit lays eggs, and that what is the correlation of the rabbit and the eggs? And because the reason I'm wanting to speak of that, because one of the things, you know, people do Easter egg hunts. That's very, very big. But when we go back and look at some of the histories of the Easter egg hunts, many of them were also surrounded around sexual orgies. The Easter egg hunt. And so should we be surprised or not surprised if our children are very sexual in the practices that they do because of some of the hidden messages that have been put into their path, that have been put into their subconscious mind? So if you could just briefly talk about the how the rabbit and the eggs are related, and also about those sexual orgies that we have been already prone to. They've given us the practice of how to do sexual orgies with the Easter hunt, the practices, the behavior,
well,
the action.
Well, sister, yes, Madam Shabazz, again, when you go into the practices, you go into the symbols and the signs, and you go into the relationship of the rituals. Again, that to say again of all three, you know, the Muslim, the Christian, and the Jew, that the practices, again, what they mean and what they do to the brain. See, a lot of people think that just saying words or this won't hurt, that won't hurt. But again, if they were doing a study and knowing the children, and they were doing studies why so more frequently that the children are so angry and why they have the mindset of a killer, or one to kill. And where does this action in the brain take place? Like they're starting to say, did it take place in the womb? Did it take place in the first grade or the third grade or the fourth grade, fifth grade? You know, what led up to this mindset? And again, that when you go back and do studies again on the behavior of the brain, the subconscious and the conscious of the brain, that's what filters the brain. Because everyone doesn't see it the same, but you have a thing called what? An action and a reaction and a cause and effect. and more we're starting to see that the effects that it has on the brain, that the illusions, again, going into that word holidays and the practices that's allowed, that's introduced into your system, into your chi, that you know something there is not natural. So you go into the unnatural, and the more that you go into the unnatural, what happens? The more that you lose the true reality of oneself. So again, the behaviors in the brain start to tell you that, wow, where am I going to stand? Where am I going to go? Where is this coming from? And why is this passed on to me? Am I such a bad person myself that I have to be lied to? You know, you tell your children, don't lie. But then you feed them lies. So, again, that action, do as I say, not as I do. And then you wonder where these behaviors come up in the human being, because you're feeding them something unnatural and trying to make them natural. Just going through the physics, it doesn't add up.
And those same behaviors, again, they're going to play out. So, why is it that an adult is comfortable with that kind of behavior? What happened in their childhood? Was it the same practices? Was it the same behaviors? Was it the same rituals that allowed them to pass through? Because at some point you have to, you know, in, as an adult, you really realize that a rabbit cannot lay an egg, but yet we still go to the store and you go walk into Walmart right now, any of the superstores, any of the stores at all, and they have a whole section that they call special items or seasonal items, and they have the most tremendous baskets that you can see, and their children are not buying those baskets. It's the parents who are in there buying those baskets. So
yes,
this is the behavior that is constantly being passed on to us, to every single generation. There cannot be no freedom if the dome is wrapped up in the lies because of the ologies and the isms that have been created by our practices that we do every single day, and especially around the holiday time. So you said something that I want to just chime on real quickly, and that was about the truth is painful. And you hear people say, oh, that the truth hurts, but you also hear that people say that the truth will set you free. And if the truth will set you free, then although it's painful, you still have to face it. And the best way that I see of looking at that from a maternal standpoint is that when you're pregnant, oh, you go through all of this time and you feel so uncomfortable, but you are so ready. You are so ready to deliver that baby, although you know without certainty there is going to be difficulty. There is going to be a discomfort unless you have done a whole lot of practices and you know how. Even if you know how to breathe properly, you still are not going to get past all of the discomfort. You're still going to have pain. So there is pain even coming to this earth. There is pain even now, even the pains that have been passed on through us, through our DNA, because of the things that were done to our ancestors, the diseases that were put into their bodies, the foods that we eat, the air that we breathe. Most people have some kind of discomfort every single day, which is why the nutritional industry, the medical industry, is a multiple billion-dollar industry, if not trillion. And so pain is nothing new to us, but it's not the physical pain that is bothering us. It's the emotional pain that is causing us all of this drama, because pain starts in the mind.
Yes.
The only way you can get pain into your body is something has triggered your mind at some point in your life. So going back to what you were talking about the 3 BCs and the brain control, that's what we're talking about, the brain. And this is a huge study that they have going on right now. in this country, and that President Obama has allotted a multiple millions of dollars to study the brain. But it's the brain part that is a breakdown for us in how we see ourselves and how we communicate with one another. And I just want to say on that note that it's very important that we love one another. It's very important that you say kind words, that you speak kindness into the existence of other people. It's very important that you have kind and gentle and loving, righteous thoughts toward people, because this is an evolution. What you put out is what you get back. What did you say, sis? A cause and an effect. It is alive and well. No matter what you may call yourself of the ologies, you do not get around the cause and effect.
Well, Madame Shabazz, as they say, that what the Creator said, right, that we should have peace and not war, that thou shalt not kill. So why is there war? I mean, we have to go back again. Does the action fit the word, and does the word fit the action?
And absolutely not. And you, when you're looking at war, and there's war everywhere, and there's not one of the ologies that say it should be about war. All of them talk about peace, which is what brings people to. They want peace. They need somewhere to come, and it's peaceful. Need somewhere to go where they think that they can confess their faults and be able to be relieved of their burdens. But yet,
because
still,
what does
war
do? The control, and that goes right back to your mind. Like I said, the systems that we're under, look at the government systems. When they talk about the forefathers, when they even talk about that word freedom, but a people was enslaved. So again, does the action fit the word, and does the word fit the action? No, it does not.
No, it doesn't. Sis, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we have some callers online. We'll take a few questions as we are coming to the close of our show. So if you could, please just hold on. We certainly appreciate you staying tuned with us. You are tuned in to blogtalkradio.com, Seed Dropper Homeschool Network. If you'd like to give us a call, the call-in number is 323-927-2927. I am Madam Shabazz, and my co-host is the wonderful Madam Heaven. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Yes.
You are tuned in to blogtalkradio.com, Seed Dropper Homeschool Network, the Wen Nam Yu with the new ATL, the Asiatic Talk Language. I am Madam Shabazz, and I have my wonderful co-host with me today, Madam Heaven. Madam Heaven?
Yes,
my sister, I want you to briefly, before we move on, I want you to briefly, if you could, just give us a quick wrap-up of Ash Wednesday.
Well, again, sister, the part of the Ash Wednesday goes actually back when they were putting the cross on the door, at going back at the time as people say the word De Jesus, the word Jesus, going, some say even the word Shua and the word Isa. Now, in the story, there are different interpretations, but it goes all the way back, extended to that time, that of the birth And so putting the ash symbolizes again that the cross, that it was the skip over of the doors that the one, two have been born. And so when they put the ash on the door, it was supposed to have been that the essence of the spiritual realm or form would protect. It was actually a sign, to break it down quickly, a sign of protection. And so going again, when we break down that word again, the cross, and what it symbolizes is a sign of death. Like I tell my sister, Christian sisters and brothers, as you said, you put your circle, your life, back on your existence, and you have your life and you have your death. So going back again into that word to break down rituals and symbols and whose land, whose symbol, and whose riches, that we go again, you know, breaking down that word again, a hollow day, meaning something missing. Because in that day, to extend it again goes back to a process. It wasn't just one part. So going back as we celebrate, as you said, different holidays, how they attach, you know, one to another, going in that word, his story. Because if we break down the story and we have to examine where that story started from. So we're not saying that the people of the stories did something wrong. We're saying that how did these stories come into an existence? That's what we have to examine. Because I do feel for people, for the most part, that they really do have an essence of a feeling that is genuine. It's, again, taught behaviors of the brain, like the word so-called black, so-called white. White is implied, again, even when they break down the story of Jesus, they tell you he had hair like wool, eyes like fire, what? Skin is bronze. But if you look at all the books and you look at the actual story, you see a pigmentation of a people that it doesn't even represent. So does the action fit the word, and does the word fit the action? No, it does not. So
yes,
again,
that's right.
Even under that name of the Jesus, or under, and we have to examine these words no matter how painful they are, because they will actually set your what? The word dome, D-O-M-E. The word do me, yes, do you. So to do you and to make you comfortable with you, to give you that dome of that freedom that your own reality self needs, this is what we give to you in our school. We give you the tools so you can go and examine for yourself. I don't want you to take anything that we say on face value in itself to go say, well, this is what we said. We want you to go pick up a book and research for yourself. You can go on the internet now. And so we give you the tools that you can set yourself free. You can start to look at yourself differently and don't feel that, I mean, you are always going to feel the pain, because the reality, what happened to certain people, and especially the people of color. And so going into essence, when they said, well, we was even a slave to feel, well, Creator, why did you make us slaves and make the other people that they call the so-called white people, mean the pure people, and the dark people, that we was a cursed people? So
yes,
in
yes,
relation
yes.
to how we relate to one another, how we see one another, how we think of one another, our whole existence of one another, yes, it does matter with those words that rely on, the rely on the lie and the word of his story, not our story.
And we are the historians telling about his story. That is
yes.
Madam Heaven, and I am Madam Shabazz. We will open up the lines if you have any questions, comments, or observation. This is your time to speak to us, and we hope that you do, because what you give to us is very good food for us, and it allows us to self-examine. It allows us to look at what we're putting out. Is it beneficial to you? So if you have, if you just want to say thank you, we also are encouraging our listeners to go online and make a comment about our lesson, what you heard. If you have any questions or comment, you can email us at seeddropperhomeschoolnetwork@gmail.com, and you can leave any kind of comment that you like here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're okay with any kind of comments that you make.
Yes,
we're not
we
just only saying, yes, please bring them. They are beneficial to us. So I'm going to open up the line, area code 678-5332. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations for us today? Well, thank you so very kindly for tuning in. We certainly appreciate your energy and your time for tuning in with us. And then we have 470-0393. You are live. Do you have any questions, comments, or observations?
Yes, I have some observations and some comments.
Please, go right ahead.
This is Brother One. And like Jesus, he was like the most dominant figure ever written about and put into our brains. You can find something similar to Jesus in every religion. And so I know the devil or the white man, he used Jesus' name to share his dirty religion, all his dirty religion.
Well, I just like to say to you, my brother, that even the name Jesus comes from the Greek and the Latin. In the Hebrew, the word is Yeshua. And if you say it in the Arabia, it's Isa. Like if you just say Jesus, 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 and to yourself three times, Jesus, 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 and just say Yeshua, 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 and look at the brain control of your mind. Or if you say Jesus, 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 and then say Isa, 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 it doesn't even sound the same to your brain, does it?
Not at all. Yeah, but then it's like Jesus. Since Jesus is their most popular figure, they will incorporate that pagan ways with Jesus' name, and then the people who follow Jesus, they'll actually be blindly worshiping or blindly following paganism too. When I talk about pagan, I'm talking about like Christmas, Easter. You know what I'm saying? They'll actually be participating in paganism, and the actual pagans sit back and laugh at them and enjoy them actually participating in their worship. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, brother, because Jesus come from the word Zeus. See, the word Jesus in Greek mythology. That's what we break down again. Where did the word Jesus come from? Because if you break down the word Z-E-S-U-S, that became J-E-S-U-S, what? Jesus just does is not us.
And since when you talk, not only do we want to talk, say, just only Jesus, but in the whole ologies, if you even just go back and look at the word Muhammad, then you have to go inside of that word and look at the Ham. When did it become Muhammad? Because as you and I both know that one of the tenets of Islam is that you do not eat pork, you don't touch pork, you don't participate in pork. But so where did the ham come from? Because ham is not kosher. So definitely, no doubt. Thank you, my brother. We appreciate you.
I got one more comment.
All right, go right ahead.
All right. I did like a 20-minute research on Easter last week. Typed in bunnies mating with chickens. And to my surprise, I found an actual video. It was a dog, a male rabbit, and a chicken in a fence. And the male rabbit chased the chicken around until the chicken stopped. And then the male rabbit actually got behind the chicken and started mating with him. And I did some more research and actually, I don't know how true it is, I actually seen it with my own eyes, the rabbit and the chicken having sex. But I read some more and it was like, the chicken will produce the egg, but the ducklings are a little different. They look a little different, but when they grow up, they look just like a regular duck. Y'all can do the research. Just type in bunny mating with chicken. Yeah, I seen it. They got a video.
Well,
go on YouTube.
Well,
you can
know what?
See the video.
But crossbreeding and mixing, this is not anything new. This is just what we're. Thank you, my brother, for sharing that with us. We certainly appreciate that. But this is grafting. The grafting process has been around with us for many thousands of years now. And we're just beginning to see it manifest in our own presence now. But it's not new. However, when you looked at that, if you just think about the feeling that you felt, that was not a natural thing that you experienced and seen that. And that's what we're saying today, is let's examine these unnatural feelings, just that inside of yourself, the questions that you have, where, as we have been taught, not to question, which is crazy. How can you not question? How can you learn? How can you move forward? How can you become brilliant? How can you become a builder? How can you become a scientist? How can you become even a righteous person if you do not examine? Because you have to know the darkness in order to recognize the light, the so-called wrong in order for you to recognize the good. You have to know it, and we come with all of it, so we need to know it anyway. So thank you, my brother. Please tune in to us as we will be back here on Wednesday of next week, every Wednesday. This is the same channel that you can catch Madam Shabazz and Madam Heaven on. So thank you, my beloved brother. We solely appreciate you this day. You're very welcome.
We appreciate y'all, too.
All right, and we have 817-8279. Your line is open. Do you have any question, comment, or observation for us today? Well, thank you so very kindly for tuning in. We certainly appreciate you. And we have 469-3949. Your line is open. Do you have any questions or comments or observations for us today? Well, thank you as well. We appreciate you tuning in with us. And we have 214-6560. Do you have any questions, comments, or observation? Your line is live. Thank you very kindly as well. Sound like they may have wanted to say something. I'll go back. 6560.
Yes. I would like to. My name is Amakula, and I would like to let y'all know I really enjoyed the show. Y'all be back on the money. I had my notebook ready. My number came up a few times. I was driving, and then my baby was crying, so it wasn't the right time. But thank you. I appreciate y'all. And I really do appreciate all the information that I'm able to grab while I'm listening to you, so y'all very proud.
Well, thank you very kindly for tuning in to us, and we hope that you can continue to tune in to us. We solely appreciate you. All right, well, hang on the line, please. All right, sis, Madam Heaven. We're coming to the close of our show, my sister. I am not getting to the last few minutes this day. You have anything you'd like to say to the listeners? Is she still on the line? Yeah, she is.
And we invite everyone to participate.
Sis, start over from the beginning, what you were saying. I muted your line accidentally.
Yes, I just like to say this is the first international online school throughout America, Asia, and Europe, and we welcome all listeners.
Yes, thank you, my sister. Yes, absolutely. All listeners from all walks of life are welcome to us. We'll be delighted to have you to tune in with us and be a part of the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network, the When I'm You, the new ATL, the Asiatic Talk Language. Our school doors are open for enrollment. If you could, please visit us on our website at cdropperhomeschoolnetwork.com. And you can check us out, see what our L's are all about. give us the opportunity to continue to share with you by tuning in with us every Wednesday here on the blogtalkradio.com/Seed Dropper Homeschool Network. We are delighted that you tuned in with us today. I want to give you a special thanks, and we appreciate your time and your energy, because we know that you could have been doing something else and you were here with us. So we solely appreciate that. Again, tune in to us. Your commercials are welcome here. If you want to advertise with us on our Blog Talk Radio and also into our Facebook page, you are welcome to. We were glad to share with people who you are and what service or products that you have available and want people to know about. So thank you very much for calling in and listening in and tuning in through the internet. We appreciate you, and may the divine creator keep you and dress you up and cloak you with happiness and abundance. Until next time, peace and love.
Manitaka, assalamu alaikum, shalom, and como esta, my señor and señorita.
Until next time.
Peace.
Peace.